when you are ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. Morning. May it please the Court, I'm Tom Wagner from Grand Island, and I represent the appellant, Shelley Steuben Mallory, in this matter. Just a little bit of background. The Steuben Charitable Foundation was started by Gilbert Steuben and his late wife in about 1990, and it's been operating since that time. Mr. Steuben has been the president of that corporation during that entire time. Almost all of the funds, if not all of the funds in the foundation, have been provided by Mr. Steuben and his wife, of course, when she was still alive. The purpose of the foundation was really to provide scholarships to students at Northwest High in Grand Island, and also to make some improvements to the physical plant of the school. And that's, you know, what they did throughout the years. The foundation of this type is often known as the donor is the foundation, and that's pretty much what this case is. Mr. Steuben was the foundation. What happened then, last year Mr. Steuben ran into some problems with the law. He got in an altercation with the Hall County deputy sheriff out of one of his farms, and was cited for that. That was still pending. He was referred to the Lincoln Regional Center. Before that time, his daughter, the appellant Shelley, had filed for a guardian and conservatorship for Mr. Steuben. She was appointed as a temporary guardian, and then I think in September of 2018, she was appointed as the permanent guardian for Gilbert, and she continues to so act.
So Mr. Steuben is still incapacitated?
Yes, Your Honor. He's still at the regional center, Your Honor. Yes. There's about three points I'd like to discuss, if I could. Number one was the way the judge conducted the hearing back in November. What happened was he was scheduled for a trial. The foundation attorney filed a petition to have an annual meeting, and also to appoint directors to the foundation.
Let's get forward real quick. Did the corporate bylaws give the district court authority to appoint directors in any situation?
Yes, if there was a vacancy for so long, they could do that, Your Honor.
And now the corporate bylaws said there could be between 3 and 9 directors, correct?
That's what the bylaws now say, yes, Your Honor.
And at the time the petition was filed, there were only 3 acting.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Were those other 6 positions, could those be determined to be vacancies?
Well, all I can say, Your Honor, the bylaws said 3 to 9. There were never more than, and I'm aware of, there were never more than 3 persons on the board of directors. So
I'm interested in your position, whether those other 6 positions were vacancies or not under the bylaws.
I don't think there were vacancies because the board was authorized to act of 3 members, Your Honor. So I don't think there were vacancies.
So under the bylaws, what was the mechanism for appointment of directors? Who, according to the bylaws, was supposed to appoint directors?
The president of the corporation, or the president of the corporation, Your Honor.
And who was the president?
Gilbert Steuben.
And he's disabled? Incapacitated.
He was impaired, that's correct, Your Honor. He was impaired.
So at that point, who, under the bylaws, would have been called upon to appoint directors?
I think had the situation lasted long enough, the district court could have appointed directors. But also, our other point, Your Honor, is that we think under 2019-53, that Shelley Steuben, as the as the conservator and guardian, had the right to act in Dilbert's capacity as on the board of directors, not as a proxy and not on the board of directors herself, but just to act for Dilbert until his impairment is cured.
The district court never ruled upon that, though, did it?
No, Your Honor.
It reserved ruling on that.
They just said they weren't going to rule on it.
And I believe from the record, the court was informed that that matter was proceeding through the county court as well.
Yeah, that's correct, John. And the county court didn't take any action on it either. So, that's the problem.
So, Ms. Mallory hasn't been acting as a director to this corporation to date?
Well, no, Your Honor, because the foundation really was pretty inactive at that point, Your Honor, and we were just getting around to starting to act, try to get the things. We had to get the taxes filed. We had to get the yearly distribution made. We're in the process trying to do that when they filed the petition. So we didn't take any further action at that time, Your Honor. So no, she hasn't been acting as that. But Your Honor, we think that the way the district court acted was improper. The district court, I filed a motion to dismiss. They overruled that, and then without even allowing me to proceed further, I think there were some justiciable issues which should have been tried by the court. The court didn't try anything. They didn't take any evidence. They didn't take any exhibits. They didn't take any testimony. They simply agreed with what the petition asked for, and set a meeting, but then also appointed boards of directors. That's also appointed four members on the board of directors.
You didn't object to the appointment of two of the members, correct?
I objected to all of them. I said there's two of them I wouldn't object to. That's correct. I didn't object to two of them. I didn't. When I went to the hearing, I hadn't even seen the petition, Your Honor. It was only filed the day before that. And I didn't even know who they were until we got to that hearing.
Is it your position that when you said that you didn't object to two, you were, at that point, the judge had made the decision, she's going to appoint somebody, and you're saying, well, if you're going to appoint somebody, I don't have a problem with these two because I know who they are? Am I understanding that correctly?
That's basically it. But the problem, Your Honor, I have, the larger problem I have, is that In the petition, they stated it was brought under 21-19-17. Well, 21-19-17 says the court has a right to set an annual meeting. It says nothing about appointing members of the board of directors. And I say that, all the court could have done, at best, is to set an annual meeting. They had no right to appoint a board of directors at that point, because they didn't make any findings that there were vacancies on the board. They just, she just took it on herself to appoint boards of directors. So I think that was incorrect. And then finally, Your Honor, like I said, what I asked the court to do, just to avoid a further appeal, is to rule on whether Shelley Steuben Mallory can act for Dilbert on the board of directors. We're not asking, that's not as a proxy, and it's not, we're not asking her to sit on the board of directors. We're simply asking her to be allowed to act temporarily until Dilbert is able to rejoin the board.
Are we allowed to do so if the trial court did not make a ruling? Are we allowed to make our own ruling?
I would certainly think so, yes, Your Honor. I take the position you can, yes, Your Honor. So, thank you very much.
What's before you sit down, what's the standard of review? Are you here in equity or in law?
I think we're here in law, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May it please the court. My name is John Mattson. I'm with Coley Jessen Law Firm. I'm here on behalf of the Steuben Foundation and Christy Kavanaugh.
Perhaps we could begin by, do you agree we're here in law, or do you think this is equity?
I think the issue at hand, Your Honor, requires statutory interpretation, which I think is de novo. I think that you review questions of statutory interpretation de novo, and you make an independent decision. And you, I mean the court, not meaning to be disrespectful. That being said, under this particular statute, there is very broad discretion provided to the district court with respect to addressing the issue at hand, which is a nonprofit board that's ineffective, is not functioning, and you know, material problems are facing it, major tax consequences. There's a lot of discretion given the court.
You think the language of this statute includes the court appointing directors?
I think it is that broad, Your Honor, given the circumstances. And the language that specifically is on point there is, if you look at 21.19.17 subsection B, the very last sentence says, in a proceeding under this section, the district court may determine who the members or directors are. So I think that there is that much discretion. And I think the underlying purpose of the statute is to give the district court the ability to fix a problem of a nonprofit board that's become basically crippled and unable to act.
I guess what I think is perhaps a more natural reading of that phrase is that the district court may inquire as to the facts and find out who the directors are, but particularly the tense of the verb and the language does not necessarily suggest to me that that means the trial court can just appoint directors at that point. Where am I going wrong in that reading?
I think if you read the statute as a whole, so if you kind of read it top to bottom, I think it kind of flows naturally. So, and if I can answer the question in that fashion. So subsection A, with the very first question that the court is asked to look at is, if for any reason it is impractical or impossible for any corporation to call or conduct a meeting of the members, delegates, or directors.
And the court can do that.
Right. So I think the underlying question that the district court needs to answer is, do we have that issue? And I think that ties really naturally into this question with respect to whether there was evidence in front of the court or whether the district court erred in not having evidence and those types of arguments that were raised.
So if it called a meeting and it the court found out who the members of the board of directors were, said, you got to come, you got to meet, you got to decide these things. That's legitimate, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
But where does the, oh, by the way, I'm going to appoint new directors, that where does that come in?
Well, okay, so if you keep proceeding there in the statute, I'm skipping a bit that I don't think applies, then it says, upon petition of a director, and then you continue on, the district court may order that such a meeting be called, so it can, that's I think what you're referring to, Justice Castle, or other form of obtaining the vote of members, delegates, or directors be authorized in a manner it finds fair and equitable under the circumstances. I think that particular language gives the district court broad discretion to fix a crippled board of directors in the nonprofit sector like we're looking at right here. I think that language, read in context with the other provisions in this statute, shows the legislature's intent to have a very broad grant of authority to the district court to fix the problem in front of it.
This was part of a uniform act, wasn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what have other states said on this issue that have adopted the uniform act?
We didn't find anything directly on point, Your Honor, in our research. So
no other state has, at least thus far, agreed with your position that the court may appoint directors.
I don't think it was one way or the other, Your Honor, at least our research. It was inconclusive, not finding specifically as you indicated. But if you look at subsection C as well, Your Honor, it says the order issued pursuant to this section may dispense with any requirement relating to the holding of or voting at meetings or obtaining votes, including any requirement as to quorums or as to the number of percentage of votes needed for approval that would otherwise be imposed by the articles, bylaws, or the act. Again, I think if read in context, the statute as a whole is encouraging the court to, would lead a district court reading the statute to think, I have broad discretion to fix the problem that is identified in the very first sentence, which is an impractical or impossibility of the corporation
Which way did that language cut, though? Because that language seems to give the board authority to adjust, as the terms say, quorum requirements if there's problems with members. It doesn't, but this judge didn't, the district court judge here didn't alter quorum requirements. She appointed members so that the quorum requirements could stay the same, didn't she?
Interestingly, she did both. So she called a meeting. Justice Luther called a meeting, and she also appointed the directors that were requested to be appointed by the petitioner.
But wasn't the reason for appointing four members because there was some concern about a quorum requirement or a supermajority language in the bylaws?
Yes, the reading of the articles or the bylaws could have been read that you needed 60%, and it also required an odd number of directors.
Would subsection C have allowed her to alter those requirements to allow the board to move forward?
I think so. I think the statute is saying if you have a nonprofit corporation that is not functioning, so it cannot conduct its business, and that's exactly what was going on here, the court has broad discretion to assist that board so that it can move forward and it can function and the corporation can act.
Does it have broad discretion, or does it have the specific power that's authorized by the statute?
It has the specific authority granted by the statute, but I think that leads to the next premise, which is that it has the statute's granting it very broad authority.
Under subsection B, the language that you're relying on is included in a paragraph that's talking about notice, isn't it? I mean, let's, first of all, don't you agree we're talking about a subsection B has two sentences, a very long first sentence and then a very short second sentence, and the first sentence is all about notice, right?
I think that's fair.
Okay. Then how do we read, don't we read that in the second sentence in context to the first sentence of that subsection?
Yes, Your Honor, I think that's a fair reading. I think the reading that I initially proposed, which is it's broad enough to indicate that the court may determine who the directors are, and with the implication that it could determine, meaning somebody who wasn't already a director, saying that person can be a director. I understand the court's point. I think that's fair. I think it can be read in both ways. But I think if you look at subsection A, that's the section that is saying it can call a meeting, the district court can call a meeting, or other form of obtaining the vote of members, delegates or directors, be authorized in a manner it finds fair and equitable under the circumstances. I think that gives the court express authority to, if it needs to, appoint additional directors if it wants to be consistent with the Articles of Incorporation, have an odd number, and have the capacity to have a 60% vote. I think that's entirely consistent.
Are the comments to the Uniform Act at all helpful?
Again, Your Honor, our research on that issue was inconclusive. Circling back to this concept of whether there was enough evidence or proper evidence before the court, really, I think the statute says under 1917 that first question, the question at hand in order for the court to gain this discretion and authority is if there, for any reason, it is impractical or impossible for the corporation to call a meeting or conduct its business. So if you look at the transcript at page 20, paragraph 4, the appellant in the case states in their pleading or in their filing that they were relying on their motion to dismiss that it was, quote, impossible to convene a meeting of the board due to incapacity of Delbert Steuben. So the fact at issue was agreed to, stipulated, admitted. All of those words fit here in this context. So the district court, as it's looking to determine and trying to figure out what it's supposed to do in this context, it has that fact established, it's admitted, there's no contest about it. And then as it proceeds through its process, I think what the court did, if you read the transcript, is that it's applying this concept that it's going to be fair and equitable under the circumstances to try to get this board to function again. And that's why Judge Luther asked opposing counsel, you know, or indicated, here's my intention. These are the four directors that were requested of me. What's your position? And counsel told him, two of them are great. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. You can read the transcript. It's not an overly long transcript. But I think, again, to the district court at that point, the district court's thinking, okay, I'm good on those two, so we're moving in a productive, I'm out of time.
I have one more question
for
you.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that the Nebraska rules of pleading in civil actions applies to the type of petition that's contemplated by Section 21-1917 sub A?
Could you elaborate on the question? I'm not entirely sure what
you're
getting at.
We have uniform rules of pleading that apply to actions under Chapter 25. This is not an action under Chapter 25. This is a special proceeding under the Nonprofit Corporation Act.
Agreed.
Do our rules of pleading in civil actions even apply to such a proceeding?
I think it was a special statutory proceeding. I think the court, Your Honor, is accurate on that issue. I think that it was, in that sense, it wasn't a full-blown trial, and the court just applied the statute as it saw in a fair and reasonable manner, and for that reason, I think the court should affirm.
Before you sit down, has the board with this new appointee been meeting regularly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it compliance with federal and state requirements for nonprofits and charities at this point?
Yes, Your Honor.
So it's made its required distributions, paid its taxes?
That is my understanding, that there was a meeting contemplated by the judge's order, that took place, that they moved forward and got their tax filings straightened out and those types of things.
Hypothetically speaking, if this court were to rule that the actions of the district court to appoint those new directors was improper, what effect would that have on the corporation?
I think it would cause a lot of problems for the corporation because it's going to have to then make determinations whether the decisions that were made by the interim board that was approved by Judge Luther were proper, or how that's going to, whether that needs to be approved by a district court. I think it raises a litany of issues.
Has Mr. Burkhart and Ms. Kavanaugh been regularly participating in the board meetings?
Yes, for Mrs. Kavanaugh, and there's just ongoing issues with getting a hold of Mr. Burkhart, as there had been. It's my understanding.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Is there time for rebuttal?
Yes.
1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to be short. You've had a long morning. I still don't see where the statute allows them to, or allows the court to appoint appoint the board of directors. And I think the Chapin case I cited in there states, you know, they said the legal principle recognizes the general legal principle of statutory construction that is the expressed object of a statute's operation excludes the statute's operation to all of the subjects unmentioned by the statute. I think, so I don't think the court can appoint the directors, Your Honor. And the other thing is, when they talk about a quorum, there was a quorum present in court that day. There were two directors, Christy Kavanaugh and Burkhart, present in the courtroom that day. There was a quorum there. So I question whether the court could even ask for a meeting.
Before you sit down, I'm going to address the same question to you. If this court invalidates the appointment of those four board members, which could very easily invalidate the actions they've taken up to this point, bringing the corporation back into compliance with the federal and state standards, is there a possibility that could result in the dissolution of the corporation?
I think that's a possibility, but I would assume the board of directors would affirm everything, would affirm the actions and, the filing the income, the filing the taxes, which is required, and the distribution, which is required.
But if this court acts as you're requesting,
right,
setting aside your request to put Ms. Mallory on the board,
right,
that we'll be putting the corporation back in the position it was when the petition was first filed some time ago, when it hadn't taken those steps yet. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. What I've been told is that it would not affect, is that the corporation has some time to either affirm or make the proper motion or the proper actions to allow them to stay in fire. And I just, you know, that's just the accountant's head. I can't verify that or not.
But the membership dispute would then return, instead of having insufficient directors to proceed. So that whole situation would come back up, would it not?
Well, it would, except that there are, still the two directors, and I assume that they can, they can appoint an additional director if it becomes necessary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The cause is submitted, and counsel are excused, and we're adjourned for the day.